The following Women of Steel presentation is by Jenna D. Martin and is entitled Roll Up Your Sleeve, Sister. For a free catalog of all of our tapes and books, call Compass at 1-800-977-2177 or on the web at compass.org.
Good evening, ladies. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly, thanking you for being our Creator and our Redeemer. Thank you, Lord, that we are your people and the sheep of your pasture. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us tonight. You tell us in Jeremiah 33:3 to call unto you, and you will answer us, and you will tell us great and mighty things we do not know. We are a needy people, Lord. We live in a very strange time. There's deception on every hand, and if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. We pray that you would be with us tonight, that you would minister to us through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would speak through the women that are here tonight. We recognize that there are many members in the body of Christ, and all the members do not have the same function. So we just pray that you would speak through each of us that are speaking tonight, that you would open the hearts of those that are hearing, and that your word would do its work, and that above all, we would come out to be challenged to be godly women, biblical women, that we would know the truth, and that truth would set us free. I pray for discernment in this time that we live in of no discernment. I pray that you would just be here, Lord, in the full power of your Spirit. Speak to our hearts and let us know that you are God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we are going to talk about deception and discernment. So roll up your sleeves. It's a maybe negative subject for some of you, but I feel like it's a subject that we need to talk about, and we need to examine areas of our lives and ask the question, why are we too soon old, too late smart? That's a question I wish I had asked myself many years ago. And then what will matter eternally? And those were really kind of my titles, and yet roll up your sleeves because we're going to forge on fast. I've always been intrigued by questions in the Bible, and in Mark 10:51, Jesus asked the blind man, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said, "I want to regain my sight." It's my prayer that you ladies tonight will come, all of you desiring to perhaps regain your sight in some area of your life. You've either lost your perspective or you've lost your focus, or you just need a renewal. So that's my challenge to you is maybe tonight you need to regain your sight. Also in Genesis 3:9, God asks Adam, "Where are you?" And Adam's answer was, "I heard the sound of thee in the garden, and I was afraid, so I hid myself." And we have I, me, 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 and the birth of the human trinity. Self and selfishness is born at the fall. Psalm 1 tells us that there's only two paths in life to walk on, and we'll be either on the path of the wicked or the path of the righteous. We will either be on the path of the selfless or the selfish. So, do we have that form of godliness that denies the power? Are we always learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth? 2 Timothy 3, 5 and 7. Are we doing all the right things for all the wrong reasons? Just like the prodigal son's older brother, who had a heart of stone, actually, and he was like the Pharisee. Do we keep on listening but we don't perceive? We keep looking but we don't understand. We have ears that are dull and eyes that are dimmed. Isaiah 6:9. Proverbs 14:12 is perhaps the classic scripture for deception. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but its end thereof are the ways of death. And I was raised in the 50s and 60s, and Debbie Boone was singing her song, "It Can't Be Wrong If It Feels So Right." Frank Sinatra was singing that he did it his way. And we all memorized Invictus, and the last few lines of that were, "I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul." So it was all about me and having it your way. Life on my terms and the 10 suggestions. We sit soaking sour and we live our life on the pity pot for the most part. So in Romans 12, 1 and 2, the famous verse, we are to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, but the problem is the living sacrifices keep jumping off the altar. My challenge to you would be, what is your reasonable service of worship? I think it's interesting to take scriptures and look at the little phrases and ask yourself, what is your spiritual service of worship? Hebrews 12:28 tells us that since we receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken, we are to offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. Psalm 116:12 says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits to me?" Proverbs 23:7 says, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." So have we allowed our culture to affect us more than we have affected our culture? As we travel around in the ministry that we have, this is what we're seeing in churches. We're being accommodated to our culture. Are we merely cultural Christians? Do we truly possess the Word of God, or are we merely professing Christ? We feel like sometimes as many as 50% of the people that we minister to in the churches are just filling the pews, and they really don't have the Spirit of God in them. So I think we need to ask ourselves, do we fear God or do we fear men? Do we want to make an impression on people or a difference for God? Do we want the approval of men or the approval of God? And I would challenge you ladies to look up John 5:44 and 12:43, for they love the glory from one another and not the glory from the one and only God. Now our worldview, as we think in our heart, is the basis for our worldview. And then there are these areas that Francis Schaeffer used to talk about, we see in bits and pieces, not as an integrated whole, and we need to keep these things together and realize that these fundamental things that we believe form our value system, and then at the very top, our behavior comes out. So what we see in your behavior will probably tell a lot of us how you really think in your heart. We live in a time where postmodernism is the predominant worldview and deconstructionism, where truth is created, not discovered. You have your truth, I have my truth. How many times have we heard that over the past years? Well, what does that mean? What that means is everyone does what's right in their own eyes, just like Judges 21:25, the very last verse in Judges, and that's moral relativism. So who determines truth, God or man? If we live in a postmodern time where man determines his own truth, then where are you? Are you subjective truth or are you objective truth? And our tolerance and political correctness, in that we act like we can't judge, and yet we're told in the Bible that if we judged ourselves, the world would not judge us. And it's time for judgment to begin with the house of God. And we're losing 70% of our youth. In 1 Chronicles 12:32, the sons of Issachar were men who understood their times and knew what to do about them. I believe that we don't understand our times. We don't realize the deception that we are involved in. We're going merrily along, living life, and we just need to come to our senses like the prodigal did. Are we sending our children out as, my mind just blanked out, as mission fields or missionaries? I abbreviated so much in this PowerPoint. And I think many times, if you think of how you were sent out from your home, we are sent out as mission fields and not missionaries. So what is true truth? Francis Schaeffer said 40 years ago, God's word is truly true but not exhaustive. John 17:17, God's word is truth. John 8:32, that truth sets us free. Hebrews 4:12, God's word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Hosea 4:6, we're destroyed for lack of knowledge. John 12:48, the word will judge us at the end times. Is the Bible just information or is it true truth? How do we treat it? Are we reading all the latest books or are we reading God's Word? Is it our blueprint, our roadmap, our lifeline? In my husband's book, he has a little line in the front that says, if you haven't had time to read your Bible today, then you don't have time to read this book. And as a result, I've read 3 books from cover to cover since we were married 36 years ago, because if I don't have time to read the Bible, then I don't have time to read books. I've read paragraphs and bits and pieces, but for the most part, I haven't read a lot of books. Are we desperately dependent on God's word or man's word? And I think that's the thing that we need to come to, is understanding what our condition is tonight. Are we like the frog who boils to death in the water as the temperature slowly rises, yet it can't detect that it's dying? Can we wake up before it's too late? How can we say no to stubborn habits, sin? What changes are necessary? These are all questions that we need to be asking ourselves. How radical must we be? What will motivate us to do something? Sometimes it takes a death in the family. Sometimes it takes cancer. Sometimes it takes losing a child. But the Lord is usually faithful to motivate us. And yet maybe that's one of the reasons that you're here tonight, to come to your senses, to regain your sight. Are we lip servicing God? Our ideas have consequences, and those ideas can have eternal consequences. Only God, people, and His Word will last eternally. And many, many times in Bibles I've seen this little line written, only one life will soon be passed, only what's done for Christ will last. And that's such a simplistic thing. And yet when you think in the scope of eternity, what will really matter eternally, we've only got one life. And so are we investing in that which will last eternally? How are we investing in our gifts that God has given us, our time and our resources? How are we investing in our husbands? Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider how we can encourage one another to love and good deeds. Why are we so great at our hobbies and yet sometimes we forget about our husbands and we don't invest in them? Have we ever thought about maybe making our husbands a project and maybe thinking of ways that we can minister to them in a way that the younger women see how we're ministering to our husbands and we start ministering as true Titus 2 women? How about our children? 3 John 4 says, we can have no greater joy than to see our children walk in truth. And yet we have to integrate truth into the fabric of life to have our children walk in truth. For instance, when little Johnny lies, are you setting little Johnny down? Sitting little Johnny down. And are you saying to him, little Johnny, Colossians 3 tells us that we are not to sin. And so it's taking God's truth and fitting it into the fabric of life. And I think that's so important, and I think that's something that's not done in many families. We have to know the truth to be able to integrate the truth, to be able to speak it into the fabric of life. And our assumptions do determine our conclusions. We live in a time with the postmodernism that says there are many paths to God. There are not many paths to God. John 14:6, Jesus is the only way to God. Acts 4:12, there's salvation in no one else, for there's no other name that's been given under heaven by which we must be saved. 1 Corinthians 8:6, we have one God, the Lord Jesus Christ. If we buy into the multiculturalism and tolerance and political correctness of our day, then our conclusions will lead us to being compromised, neutralized, and diluted. We do what's important. We take care of body beautiful. 1 Timothy 4:8 says, but bodily discipline is of little profit, but godliness is profitable for the present and for the life to come. We entertain ourselves. 1 John 2:15, love not the world nor the things in the world. And yet when you see what the movies are grossing every week, I can't believe that just pagans are going to all these movies. And so what are we investing in for eternity? What do we have to show for the time that we spend in these things, especially if we've not been in the Word or we weren't able to go to church or do some of the things that might be building us up spiritually? And there's TV and then the books, the cult of Christian books. And nowhere is that greater than in Dallas, Texas. And my husband's written a book, and there are good Christian books out there. But if we don't have time to read our Bibles, then we don't have time to read these Christian books. And I think that is one of the biggest deceptions that we face today, next to maybe romance novels that women are reading. Then are we shopping to shop? Sports, exercise, worldly music. What are we doing about priorities? Do we know what is important? And then we have what we tolerate. Lack of discipline, lack of commitment, lack of obedience, lack of the fruit of the Spirit, lack of submission to God and our husband. We have rebellion in our children. All of these can be handled by learning and inculcating the fruit of the Spirit. We call evil good and good evil, Isaiah 5:20. Why in our culture do we call good bad and bad good? Why did I walk by a department store window and see a big necklace on a woman that had B-A-D written right in the middle of it? Why do we want to be bad? Why do we want to dress in a decadent manner? Why are we doing the things that were bad 40 years ago that are now good? Unisex and rebellion. We go on the college campuses and you can't tell the girls from the guys. The girls are even wearing the baggy pants with the slits in the knees and their hair is shaved up the back, and it's a form of rebellion. 1 Timothy 4 and 2 Timothy 3 talks about times in the last days when men will be lovers of self and there will be demonic worship. And then cutting and tattooing our bodies. 1 Corinthians 6:19, our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. Leviticus 19:28 says we're not to tattoo or cut our bodies. And the latest thing now is the cutting of the tongue, to where kids are now getting forked tongues. And it's quite a process. It's not fun, and yet that's what we're seeing. So has feminism affected Christian women? 1 Timothy 2:13, Adam was first formed and then Eve. And that was the created order. But the woman submitted to the serpent, and man submitted to women, and then that left God at the bottom of the pile. Isaiah 3:12, the context is when a nation comes under judgment, children are the oppressors and women rule. Philippians 4:11, we're not content to be in the roles that God intended for us. Paul said he was content to be in whatever situation of life. So we need to start thinking about why we're not contented in the situation that we're in. Are we helper completers or competers of our husbands? God created us to complete that man, not to compete with them. And yet feminism has brought us to a time in our lives when there's a competition. And are we nourishing and discipling our children? When we stand before the Lord, there's very few things that are going to matter, but our children and what we've done with the resources and time God has given us is what will matter. Ephesians 5:15 tells us to be careful how we walk, not as unwise men, but wise, making the most of our time because the days are evil. So what are we doing with this little flick of time that we have, which could be snuffed out tomorrow? None of us have any guarantees. So, deception and discernment. These are just some of the scriptures that I wanted to just mention in passing. Proverbs 14:12, the way that seems right. Jeremiah 27:11, we're not a people of discernment. Psalm 12:1, the godly man ceases to be, the faithful man disappears from the land. Psalm 4:2b, how long will we love what is worthless and aim at deception? Isaiah 25:18, we have made falsehood our refuge and covered ourselves with deception. Psalm 101:3, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. The word is worthless in the NAS, so that takes care of both Harry Potter and the soap operas. Jeremiah 2:3b, you say you have not sinned. Jeremiah 3:3b, you refuse to be ashamed. Jeremiah 3:5b, you have done evil things and you have had your way. Isaiah 29:13, they draw near with words, honor me with lip service, but they remove their heart from me. Could that be you? Could you be lip servicing God? As we sing the hymns of the faith or the choruses, does our heart pant after the Lord? Do we exalt God? Now, this is just for women. I find it interesting that there's two specific scriptures in the New Testament that are so specific for women in terms of deception. 1 Timothy 2:14, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being quite deceived, was in the transgression. 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I am afraid lest as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your mind should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. And I think that one scripture sums up so well where we are. We have been led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ, and many of us need to cut through this callous and this deception that we've found ourselves in and get down to the core of what really matters before we are too soon old, too late smart. Are we as women more easily deceived? Genesis 4:7 says, sin is crouching at the door and its desire is for you, but you must master it. So the big picture, the bottom line, and the focus. Now this is my little formula, and I used it in a ladies' retreat three or four years ago, and then they asked me back to do another retreat, and I brought up my little formula again, and nobody remembered it. So ladies, please remember my little formula. The big picture is to glorify God. The bottom line is, we have to die to ourselves, and the focus in the middle should be Christ in us, the hope of glory. So I'm going to go through these quickly because they're scriptural references and time is running out. So that's the big picture. The bottom line is that we have to die to ourselves. Now this is a calligraphy I had done when I was 40 years old that said, I die daily. My husband was preaching a sermon, and when he got to those three little words that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31b, I die daily, it just hit me like a knife in my heart, because that to me is the secret of the Christian life. And if we had more time, I would tell you the complete story, but I don't. So death to self, Galatians 2:20, we've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer we who live, but Christ lives in us. And we've all memorized that, but how do we get from point A to point B, from knowing truth to practicing truth? The simplicity of the Christian life is we've got one life, one God, and one book. Obedience is the key to blessing. Love is the mark of the Christian. Christ came to serve and to die. This is the way we raised our girls, was to realize that our example is Christ, Ephesians 5:1, and he came to serve and to die. How can we do any less? Are you loving God with all your heart? The Shema in Deuteronomy 6, we give it lip service. But how do we know we're loving God with our mind, heart, soul, and spirit? So our focus should be Christ in us, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. His example, Ephesians 5:1, 1 Peter 2:21, John 13:15, I gave you an example that you should do as I have done. So consider your calling, Colossians 1:26, consider your ways, Haggai 1:5 and 7, And then our family scripture verse that we memorized probably 20 years ago is that you might walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. What is the Titus 2 woman and where is she? Over 20 years of ministering, we've been in two churches that I could pick up on who the Titus 2 women were. And that's not a good track record. So the verses, we're all familiar with them. And mainly, encouragers of young women. I don't see this happening. I don't see the older women reaching out to the younger women. I know when we were at Baylor College of Dentistry and there were many women there on the faculty that were retired military and we'd try to get them to do anything and their answer was, no, I'm retired. I don't want to do anything. This is my time of life. I think many times the retirement time of life is your best time of life. And I just pray that many of you women that maybe are looking for a ministry would consider mentoring or discipling younger women that need your help. They need your encouragement to love their husbands and children, to be sensible, pure workers at home, to be kind, subject to their own husbands. And then areas of deception. Some people need to ask the question, are you truly in the family? 2 Corinthians 13:5 says to test yourself to see if you're really in the faith. And I think that's why we have a lot of professors and not many possessors. What is our worth and value to God? I think we're deceived in this area. In Genesis 1:27, God said He made us in His image. We are of great worth and value to Him, and we don't act like we are a lot of times. So I challenge you to think about that and meditate on it. Then we compare ourselves with ourselves, 2 Corinthians 10:12. And that's an area of deception. God has made us uniquely different and special, and we need to celebrate that difference. We desire the approval of men, John 5:44 and 12:43. Then we have an area of deception is our thanklessness. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all things, and then Ephesians 5:20. And we gave out books at a Christian school 3 weeks ago in Wisconsin, and I purposely kept the books and gave them out one by one, and one out of 10 of the children in the school of about 100 kids would even mutter or groan or emit any kind of sound of thanks for the book. Then prayerlessness. I'm not sure who it was. Maybe it was Vernon Grounds that said, for Jesus, prayer was the battlefield and ministry the taking of the spoils. And Martin Luther said, I have a very busy day today, therefore I must spend 3 hours in the Word. Materialism. Mark, John, Matthew, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. And yet 2 Chronicles 12:1 says, when the people became established and strong, they forgot their God. And then anger, Ecclesiastes 7:9, do not be eager in your heart to be angry. And if I had more time, I'd tell you how God delivered me from my anger problem with my two little daughters. We memorized Ecclesiastes 7:9, and I gave them permission to exhort, rebuke, encourage me when I got out of line, and they did. And that was the beginning of a wonderful road to victory for me over my anger. But anger will destroy a family. Fortunately, I have a very loving husband that has put up with me all these 36 years. Areas of deception, not being a servant. We're going to go through these. Don't have time for those. Specifics in the church, it grieves our hearts to see role models. We need role models in the church that will support God's truth, that will stand for the truth of the Word. We want to be entertained and not entreated. Entertainment has taken over in most of our churches. We give lip service. Like I said before, we exalt you, Lord. Do we exalt you, Lord? Does our heart pant for you? Are we destroyed for lack of knowledge? And is this knowledge being transferred into the reality of John 3:21? He who practices the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. We can go to Bible studies the rest of our lives. And after you get through with a 5-year Bible study, are you a changed woman? Have you taken the truth of God's Word? Has it made you a different person? Or are you just treading water, sit soaking and souring in your Bible studies? Or is there something actually happening? There's a difference between knowledge and the reality of the truth that comes out through our lives in a changed life. We're not testing the spirits. That's another area of deception. We don't want to judge. We just want everything to go on. And Acts 17:11, the Bereans examined everything. So are we examining everything? We're not exercising church discipline. There were two situations just before we left of adultery going on in a church. We were in and that's not being taken care of. We were in a foreign country. We were in Europe a couple of years ago, and one of the more well-known missionary organizations were not exercising discipline for fornication in the church among singles. Only two problems in life: pride and selfishness, whether it's in marriage, child rearing. And I'll give you an absolutely money-back guarantee if you use these scriptures and they don't work. Philippians 2:2-4, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Now that would take care of every problem in life, would it not? Colossians 3:12-13, and so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion and kindness, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Would that not take care of every other problem in life? Ephesians 4:29-32, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only a word that is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to hear. And then it goes on, forgiving one another. 1 Peter 3:8-9, do not render evil for evil, but give a blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. Then Jeremiah 32:17-27, our God is the God of the impossible. There's nothing too difficult for him. Romans 8:35-39, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So these are the crushing conclusions. It's not all about us, it's about God. How do we get from point A to point B? All of these how-to books out there that we buy that we think are going to give us the answer, and the answer is in God's Word. All we have to do is get from point A to point B, and it's an act of the will and the power of the Holy Spirit within the framework of the Word. But you've got to have the Word. You've got to have the motivation to do what you know is right. James 4:17 tells us, to the one that knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. We're pilgrims passing through with a job to do. We're not home yet. A true Christian will be swimming upstream their entire lives. 1 Peter 3:13-15 tells us, who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? And do not fear their intimidations, and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your lives, always being ready to make a defense, to give an account to those who ask you for the hope that is within you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Ladies, we can't defend the faith. We go to Bible studies, we fill out the spaces, we come home and we beat our husbands over the head with the knowledge that we've gotten, but we don't apply the truth of that. So it's not doing you any good to go to the Bible studies if you're not going to apply the truth of the word that you're learning. Are you able to drink the cup that Jesus drank? Conclusions: if it pleased God to crush his own son, could it please him to crush us? There are situations in life that rain falls on the just as well as the unjust. Life is unfair, but we live in a fallen world. Glory's coming. Have we pre-decided our response to suffering and hard times when they come? There was a missionary that was interviewed this last year on national TV, and in her talk, she never once mentioned any scripture or gave any glory to the Lord. I challenge you women to pre-decide what and how you're going to respond when the hard times come, because they will come. Our legacy: have you fought the good fight? Are you a godly woman with a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of the Lord? Are we all striving to become a 1 Peter 3 woman? That's really the highest calling we can have, and yet we have our priorities so divided. We need to say no to our stubborn habits, and we need to seize the moment. Jesus says that our time is always opportune. In talking to the disciples, he says, my time is not yet opportune, but your time is always opportune. So seize the moment. Mary chose the better thing, that which will not be taken from her. Luke 10:42. Are you extracting the precious from the worthless? Because it says, before me you will stand. And if you extract the precious from the worthless, you will be my spokesman. Are you treasuring the words of his mouth more than your necessary food? A long obedience in the same direction is what we as Christians are looking forward to and what we must do. His grace is sufficient. His power is perfected in our weakness. No purpose of his can be thwarted. Job 42:2. I know that thou canst do all things, and that no purpose of thine can be thwarted. We can entrust our lives to him, our faithful creator, in doing what's right. 1 Peter 4:19. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, making no provision for the flesh with regard to its lust. Romans 13:14. Be armed for the battle. Ephesians 6:10-18. Be known as a woman that fears God. Become the 1 Peter 3 woman. And I have an example that I don't have time to use. Christ's heart: have you been so long with me and yet you do not know my heart? And that's my challenge to you tonight, ladies. Could it be that many of you have been putting on a facade, that you need to regain your sight, that you have been with the Father so long and yet you really don't know his heart? And I think when we get to the point in our lives that we can say, yet not my will but thine be done, Luke 22:42b, we have arrived. Our Lord desires a relationship. He desires a relationship with us, not a religion. So, just do it. We want to know how to. Well, we just have to do it. What do you want God to do for you? Your choices say much about you and your heart. Seize the moment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and then remember the motivation of the cross. We have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your bodies. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this time. I pray for the rest of the speakers this evening that you will gird our minds for action, that you will give us the words that you want these ladies to hear, and that you will bless this time and use it for your eternal glory and praise. Lord, we acknowledge to you that apart from you, we can do nothing. Thank you that our adequacy is in you totally. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
To receive a free catalog of all of our Bible teaching books and tapes, information on upcoming Bible conferences in your area, or details of our missionary outreach, call 800-977-2177 24 hours a day or on the web at compass.org.